What's up? And welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. In today's episode, I thought we were going to be talking about another blowout loss, another pretty embarrassing and non-competitive effort. And you can't really blame me for that. I mean, this team was down 25 at halftime, a total of, as many as 27 points in the first half against the Timberwolves. And they were undermanned, no Alex Sarr tonight, but healthy otherwise. And they just looked after the first quarter like the same team we had seen against the Nets that led to that players-only meeting. But they had a really good second half. I can't hate. I can't sit here and record an episode similar to that after the Brooklyn game or after some of those losses to Philadelphia, to Charlotte, to Detroit when they should have won. This was a pretty ethical tank loss by all accounts. Like, if you take out the really bad second quarter, they played, I think, better than the Timberwolves for both quarters in the second half and competed with them in the first quarter. You can't really be mad about a loss like this where they pushed that team to the brink. They had them, calling late game timeouts and sort of panicking at the start of that fourth quarter when the Wizards cut it to four and or five, I guess, and they were right there. They were really close. These are the types of games that you want out of this group, and they lost. It's their 12th in a row. They're 1-13 for the first time since the 2012-13 season, which was Brad's rookie year. John missed a huge portion of games to begin that season. They're bad, and it's another loss. Their 12th straight. Yes, that's awful. They are one of the worst teams. They're actually the worst team now in the NBA, even worse than Indiana. But this isn't a loss that you can have me up here and ranting about. Like, I can rant pretty easily about that second quarter, and I will. But the rest of the team, the rest of the game was good. It was competitive, and I can't really be too upset about that. Wizards fall 120 to 109 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's the first of a 3-game road trip, so they're gonna have two more. I believe. I don't know if the next game is Toronto. I can look into that in a second, but they have, I think, Toronto and Chicago after this, so not the easiest of games. Toronto won their fifth straight, and Chicago is up and down. But they might as well lose those last. They might lose those next two games. But you can't be mad at a loss like this. I think it might be heightened just because it's their 12th in a row. But it was one of the more competitive losses, especially being down 27. I think Keith mentioned after the Nets game the reason for that. The players only meeting, and then the reason for Keith airing the team out before that was he thought that they had given up. He thought that they fell behind by double digits, and unlike some of these other games, they just didn't have the effort. They gave up, they gave in, and that's what he couldn't tolerate. Tonight, they didn't do that. They got down early. In the second quarter, they were outscored 37 to 17. It was one of the worst quarters I've seen this season. Just no defense, no fight, people in the wrong spots, lack of effort, everything that you had the players only meeting about, that showed itself in the second quarter. I don't know what was said at halftime, but they came out and outscored Minnesota 36 to 23 in the third quarter, and then outscored them. I don't know if they outscored them in the fourth. I think it was even in the fourth because they entered the fourth, I think, down by 12 maybe, and then I guess 11 they lost by, so they outscored them by one in the fourth. But they were awesome in the third. They were good in the beginning of the fourth. It got it to five. They made Minnesota really fight for this win. Without Alex Sarr, down 27 on the road, could have easily given up. And so, look, I was kind of making fun of the players only meeting in the first half because it was kind of funny. Like, you have a players only meeting, and that's the half you come out with. You're down 25 on the road to begin the third quarter. That's not what the purpose in the meeting was. But the second half showed the purpose because, rather than laying down and dying like they did against Brooklyn the other night, they came out with fight and they made this a game. So ethical tank loss, can't even be too mad. What I do want to do is break down that second quarter. Like, I again, it won't be all negatives because I really did like the resolve and the effort and the fight I saw in the second half. But I have to bring up that second quarter because it's a snapshot of what's been the plague of this team all season. You saw no defense being played. You saw guys in the wrong spots. You saw multiple Minnesota runs with Keith timeout sandwiched in between, yet the Wizards had no adjustments and no answer, no response to Minnesota's runs. Again, that's been a common theme throughout the season. You had some stagnant offense, some really poor shot selection. And as a result, you went from down 5 to down 25 at halftime, and you can't have that in the NBA. Like, if the Wizards weren't that bad in the second quarter, I don't know if they win, but they might be leading late in the game, and maybe they pull it out. But it was just too deep a hole to dig. There's a couple of things. Minnesota, I believe, started the quarter on a 9-0 run. It was 34-29, went to 43-29, Keith timeout. Wizards again played okay in the first quarter, just 5 turnovers to Minnesota 0, and that's kind of what killed them. But it's a game of runs. That's fine. 9-0 run, you're down a lot of points, you're down 14. All right, then. Call the timeout. You would expect Keith to make some adjustments. That's if you were an outsider. But if you watch this team all season, you would know that another Minnesota run is quite likely. That's 80 to 90% that Keith's going to be calling another timeout in a couple minutes. And if you bet on that, you would have made a lot of money, because a couple minutes later, Keith calls another timeout, 9-2 Minnesota run. So that's an 18-2 run with a Keith timeout sandwiched evenly between Minnesota's scoring production. I don't want to say there's no adjustments. Like, Keith is trying, I think. And I mention this all the time. I don't know if it's his adjustments aren't good and they're not getting through the team, or the team is not executing his adjustments. I got to be careful without just, a lot of fans are quick to, make Keith the scapegoat, and I don't think he's been good. But you also have to look deeper. Like, it keeps happening, right? And I don't think it's a lack of effort, but I do think that something's got to give. And this was another instance where, they played bad. Keith called a timeout to adjust, and they still played bad. It was still the same issues. They still couldn't, stop Minnesota's run. So that wasn't good, and that led to them obviously being down 71-46 at halftime. But the third quarter, one of the best quarters I've seen this team play all season. Circumstances included, right? Backs against the wall, players only meeting. You had an awful first half. You needed a good start, and they started with a 10-2 run in the third quarter. Continued on that, scored on 7 of their first 8 possessions in the quarter. I really liked Marvin Bagley's activity tonight, and again, like, it was tough for him on the glass. Like, he's not a good rebounder in general, but he's going against Gobert, who's one of the NBA's best rebounders, and it's just, he's a power forward. Marvin Bagley is. He has to defend a center. He has to go against the center on the glass, and that's not fair. Obviously, with Sarr out, it's a bigger role for him. So I think he got killed on the glass and on offense. On defense, I don't think he was awesome. He's never been that great of a defender, but his motor is great. He played, what he played 31 minutes tonight as a starter. 13 points on 6 of 11 from the field, 7 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals. Was a plus 10, which was the best on the team. So again, like, if you watched this game, you watched Marvin Bagley, especially on the offensive end, I think you came away with, like, okay, this guy is a pretty competent backup, probably a backup power forward versus a center. It goes back to the, I had a lot of people in my comments saying, Greg, Bagley's playing good, but why do we have a power forward as our backup center? It's the same reason that they have a shooting guard playing point guard for them right now, and in McCollum, or a small forward playing point guard for them, and Keyshawn George, who, by the way, was fantastic. I'll talk about him in a second. It's by design. Like, I don't think that Will Dawkins is like, oh, I really didn't realize that Bagley was not a true center and that he's probably a power forward. I didn't realize that Keyshawn and McCollum, aren't true point guards. He knows this stuff, guys. Like, I think it's by design, and it's not like, oh, I'm going to do this so we lose. It's like, we don't have to solve those issues right now. Let's get them some reps there. We have a limited amount of cap that we're willing to spend. We're not going to get signed a big name free agent backup center. They're going to get a solid veteran that can fill the void for the year, and Bagley has done a pretty good job at that. So again, like, I don't think it's a front office thing where they just signed Bagley because they were like, he's a true center, and we don't see that it could be a problem. And he can't be perfect, but I thought tonight, and I think throughout most of the season, he's been a great backup, and when he has to fill in for Sarr, I think he does a good job. So thought he played quite well. Again, plus 10, the best plus minus on the team by 9. I think McCollum was a plus 1, only other player that was a plus. So clearly the Wizards won those Bagley minutes. He was on the floor for that third quarter big run. So can't say enough about Marvin. He played pretty well. Keyshawn George was fantastic. It's back-to-back 20-point games. I don't know if this is the first time in his NBA career that he's had back-to-back 20-point games. It might not be, but awesome game. Like, he had, I think, 29 against Brooklyn. I didn't post his stats because there's no point in posting stats after a loss like that. The whole team played bad. You know, you lost by 23 at home to the Nets. Not much to be celebrating, but this is a good effort. So I felt like I can post the stats. Keyshawn finished with a game team high 23 points on 8 of 17 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3. The 3-point shot, I think he shot 32% last year, maybe even lower. The revelation of his outside jumper and the improvement in the consistency of it has been arguably my favorite part about his adjustments this offseason and kind of that surge he's made into this guy that can get you a bucket kind of when you need one. He had a couple of turnarounds. He's kind of mastering that. You know, get into the low block, use his off shoulder, and then spin over that right shoulder for the fades. Those have been cool. Can get to the rim with the best of them. But the outside jumper has been great. Again, 50% on 8 attempts tonight. I think he's shooting 45.5% on 5.5 attempts per game this season through 14 games, which is a fantastic percentage number, but also on a high volume of attempts, which is what you really like to see. He was just great. Again, added 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 turnovers. Again, that's still an issue. 4 fouls, again, still sort of an issue. I mean, one was a take foul at the end, so that wasn't an issue tonight. 1 block, 1 steal. Again, he's just been great. Like, he had a wraparound pass to Bagley towards the end of the game that was really clean, had a couple good skip passes. He's running point guard in his second season. He's a forward, and apparently a point forward because he's been pretty solid being just thrown into that role when they decided to move on for Bub. So again, really liked what I saw from George. Tristan Vukcevic, look, right hand up. I think last episode I said that Keith needs to realize that he's on the Vukcevic is on the team. He's a solid player and play him. I saw tonight why Keith maybe didn't play Tristan. I mean, bottom line, his defense is atrocious. Like, number one, he's just not the smartest defender. Like, he's not in the right spots a lot of the time. I saw that he tried to take a charge at one point on Naz Reid, and like he was in position to take the charge, but he didn't fall to the ground when he tried to take the charge. That was an interesting play. There was one where he got switched on to Anthony Edwards, and like most bigs would struggle there, but he was just like he was lost. Lost on a lot of possessions, fouled on a lot of possessions. There was one play where he tried to fight through a screen, just shoved like Mike Conley to the ground, got called for a foul. He's not a good defender. You know, he was in the game for the majority of that second quarter run. It was a minus 23 in the first half, which is not good. The Wizards were outscored by 25 in the first half, so pretty much just not good at all in the Vukcevic minutes there. He played a little bit in the second half. 7 points on 2 of 8 from the field, 1 of 4 from three, 5 boards, had 3 turnovers. He fouled out in 20 minutes. He had 6 fouls, 7 points, and it was a minus 24. That's really bad, respectfully. So like, offensively, he has a shot. Like, we know that, but I can see now why he's maybe not playing as much as some people might like want him to play, because clearly the defense just wasn't it tonight. And it's tough for him. I mean, you know, he's getting thrown into, you know, that role. Naz Reid isn't the easiest cover, especially for a guy that's not as agile, you know, in Vukcevic, but he just didn't play well. So like, again, Sarr was questionable with the left, I think left big toe soreness. Then he was held out. I doubt that he'll be out for much longer. He might return even next game. And so if he's back, then Vukcevic being out of the rotation, I honestly, at this point, from what I saw tonight, I'm fine with it. Like, he has a lot to work on, especially on the defensive end, you know, and just trying to be in the right spot. So, did not like what I saw from him. Bub was a minus 18 in the first half. Again, it was those bench minutes. Like, the starters were awesome. I didn't think they were that bad. And if they played the entire game, this would have been much closer. Obviously, that's not going to be the case. You can't do that for the most part. But the bench was just bad. Like, they were really bad for most of the game. You know, Kispert was a minus 12, 0 points, 0-4 from the field. Trey Johnson was actually all right. Johnson and Whitmore weren't bad, and it reflects in the plus minus can't always tell the story, but Johnson was only a minus one, Whitmore only a minus two, in a bench unit that did not play well. I thought that they were sort of bright spots. Trey 10 points on 10 on 4 of 6 from the field, 2 of 4 from three in 17 minutes. Whitmore 20 minutes, 13 points, 5 of 8 from the field, 6 boards. You know, I thought that they were solid, and I think their offense that they contributed sort of kept Washington afloat. Trey had a good sequence in the fourth, where Washington cut it to five, and he had, I think, a sweet turnaround or mid-range jumper. And then the next possession got the board, raced it up floor, got a floater down. The Wizards had all the momentum at that point, but I like that aggression. The handle looked pretty solid. So again, I thought he played well. It sucks. Like, 17 minutes off the bench, you'd like him to play more. Like, that's your sixth overall pick. You're tanking. You've lost 12 in a row. You got CJ McCollum playing 31 minutes. He wasn't bad, but you know, 14 points on 6 of 15 from the field, 5 boards, 4 assists. Like, it's not awful, but when you watch it and you watch how he's getting these looks and the amount of dribbles and self-creation, it's like, does this make people around him better, or is it just a showcase of a guy that's pretty skilled, a veteran guy that can score, getting his own at times? You know, it's hard to kind of tote the line there, but you know, I can understand some of the frustration there, especially when you got Bilal, who I honestly, like, it went under the radar, and I didn't even know he had this many points until I looked at the box score. He had 13 points on 5 of 6 from the field, was 2 of 3 from three. Excuse me. Had 4 boards, 4 assists, you know, only 1 turnover, 2 blocks in 29 minutes. I thought he was good. Like, he had another couple of emphatic dunks. Like, he's had, I think, each of the last 3 games, at least the last two, he's had multiple dunks, just like cross off the dribble, and then once he gets in the lane, it's just effortless. Tonight's was an and one against Brooklyn. He had the poster. You know, when he's able to get by his defender, like, that's not an issue. You need to see it more often, though. Like, you need Bilal to look for his zone as much as Keyshawn has started to look for his zone. If you can get Bilal to even shoot or look for a shot half the time that a guy like Cam Whitmore or CJ McCollum or Chris Middleton looks for their shot, I think he could be a 18-plus point per game scorer. But you know, you can be efficient all you want, but you're taking 6 shots. It's hard to be too impactful on offense. So I thought he played well. He played under control, didn't force things. I'd like to see more aggression, more shots from Bilal. But I thought he was good. You know, I think he's been pretty solid in pretty much all these games since he's come back. The only issue I've had with him is he hasn't been nearly aggressive enough for my liking, which I think is an okay thing to have at this point. But you like to see that more. You like to see him be more of a focal point in the offense. I said it after the Brooklyn game. I'll say it again now. He was good, but I do want to see more. So look, the starters were pretty good. The bench was not, and especially Vucevic and Bub. Like, Bub, 3 points in 17 minutes, was a minus 16. Just took 3 shots, made one assist, one rebound, one turnover. Like, he's not this bad. You know, he's got so much more to him, and I refuse to give up on him at this point. I'm not gonna do that. Like, I'm a Bub truther through and through. I like the pick. I didn't mind the trade. Denny looks great, but I'm not gonna go back on it now just because Bub's not playing well. He's 19 years old. Maybe he just turned 20, possibly. He's so young, and it's gonna take him some time, and it sucks at this point. But there's no reason in saying, like, he's a bust or he's not going to work out. Like, it's 14 games into his second season. He's going to be fine. They do need to find a role for him at some point. They need to get him into some rhythm and find him some better looks, because he's just kind of running around now, you know, and especially when he's a negative on defense, that plus minus is not going to look good. And just aesthetically, when you watch him and you watch the team play with him, it just doesn't look as good as it does with some other units. And so definitely you need to get some fixes there. The Wizards defense was also not that bad tonight. Like, 120 is not good, but they usually give up 130. So all things considered, this is a pretty solid defensive effort. They held Minnesota scoreless for the first 4 minutes of the fourth. They cut it to five. Like, that is, it's so easy to see the formula for this team. Their lone win was against Dallas, and they allowed, I think, under 110 points. And that's the only time, I believe, this season that they've allowed under 110 points. And Dallas's offense is bad, by the way. Like, we know that. But nonetheless, it's pretty easy. The formula is effort and defense, and they gave both tonight. It was just not enough because they only did it for 3 of the 4 quarters. But that defense in the first 4 minutes was good. Minnesota missed some shots, but the Wizards were there. Trey had some solid plays. Even Chris Middleton got in on the action. So they played some good defense, you know, to begin that quarter. George hit a three, Bub hit a three, 104. They're down five. Like, this is a team that was down 27 at one point in the second quarter. It's now 101 to 96 Minnesota with 6:30 in the fourth. Like, they fought and they were close and they made it a game. And that leads me to this. Like, that is what you are looking for this season. You're not looking for games like Detroit necessarily where you're winning the entire way and then you lose it at the end. Like, that is good for the tank, but you want to be able to close out those games. Like I mentioned at the time, no matter if you're tanking or not, you should have beat Detroit. You should have beat Philly. You probably should have beat Charlotte as well. Those, aren't ethical tank losses when you're up by that much and you somehow blow the game. But when it's games like this where you're down a lot and you fight back and you make it a game, or you're right there every step of the way, but you just don't have enough at the end, those are the games that fans can live with. Those are the games that are okay in terms of this, ethical tank, in terms of this rebuild, is you need to be there. You made Minnesota work for this win. You had George, who played a very solid game. You had Bilal, who played well. You got contributions from guys off your bench like Whitmore and Johnson, and you made it a game. You got valuable reps for your guys down the stretch. George handling the basketball. You had, Bob Carrington even played at the end. He didn't play well, but he still played at the end. You had Trey Johnson there as well. Bilal Coulibaly was in with the game kind of close there. Like, these are valuable reps, and it's not valuable when you're down 20 in the fourth quarter to the Nets. You don't get anywhere from that. You don't get anywhere for, when you're getting blown out in those other games. But in games like this where you're close, fans can live with it, the Wizards can live with it. And I think that's what the players only meetings purpose was. And like, look, I was kind of laughing at it in the first half when they were losing by a lot. I think all fans were. But they pulled it back. They kind of showed that, like, okay, that meeting kind of worked a little bit. Small sample size, right? Like, it's only a little bit of game action, and it's been one game, 48 minutes since that meeting. So there's a long way to go. And now it's just kind of like, okay, we saw an improved effort tonight. Can you keep that effort going? Like, can you make this the standard going forward? And that doesn't mean that they need to turn into wins. I said when I was on Locked On Wizards 2 days ago, the success of this players only meeting will not be measured in wins and losses. It will be measured in how close this team is, how competitive this team is, the effort, the fight, the defense that this team shows over the next 5 to 10 games. That is how you'll measure it. If they go 2-8, if they go 1-9, it's like, you know what? They're there at least. If this is the effort, then that's okay. But if they go, 0-10, and they're getting blown out and it's uncompetitive, there's really no point, right, to that meeting. So I think this is a good start. They have more games to go to show that they are not back, but that they have sort of learned from how bad that Brooklyn loss was, and sort of matured and realized, okay, we can't do that. Like, that can't be us. Bilal or Keyshawn said it after the game. I think he was saying it, like, that's not us. We know we can be so much better. We have to be so much better. And tonight they were a lot better, and they nearly pulled off a tough comeback road win against a now 10-5 Minnesota team. I mean, Minnesota's pretty much just been a bottom dweller. Like, Minnesota just beat the bad teams in the league. You look at their schedule and lost to the good team. So I don't know how good they are, but they're back-to-back conference finalists in the West. So they're still a good team. And the Wizards, made them work for the win. So that's sort of my spiel on it. Again, like, not a bad loss. It is the 12th in a row. And like I mentioned, streaks or something, they're creeping up on that 16 that they've had each of the last 2 seasons. They had one in 23, 24, and then last season they had multiple 16-game losing streaks. And then I think they had one prior to that in franchise history. I think they've had four total 16-game losing streaks, and I guess have yet to break 17. I've had a lot of questions, like, is this the one? They're at Toronto on Friday, and that is a team that's won five straight. They're 9-5 or 10-5. They're playing really well, so that'll be probably pretty tough. At Chicago on the second of a back-to-back, also on the road, they're a good basketball team that hasn't been playing too good lately. I think that's also probably a loss. That would bring you to 14. You're home against Atlanta, no Trae Young, but they've been playing better basketball as of late. That's tough. So that's 15. You're at Indiana, which would make it 16. And like, look, Indiana is not good record wise, but they have Siakam, they have Nembhard. Like, they're still a good team. And if you lose that, you're at 16. Come back home against Milwaukee. I think Giannis could be back by that time. He's supposed to be missed 2 weeks, so maybe he won't be back December 1st. But that would be the game that could possibly set the franchise record for consecutive losses. So, not like the hardest schedule. Like, I think realistically, of the next five games, I wouldn't be surprised if the Wizards won like one of them. I don't. It doesn't matter the opponent. Like, if they stole one in Toronto, I'd be like, okay, that's a pretty good win. If they beat Chicago, Atlanta, Indiana, Milwaukee without Giannis, again, wouldn't be too surprised. Like, there are chances here for them to halt this losing streak. And if they play like they did in the second half tonight against the Timberwolves, I don't think that'll be an issue. I think that they'll probably get a win here. I mean, just looking even at the standings, because again, like it's at that point where you're like, they're 1-13, like this is pretty bad. How do they stack up with the rest of the league? They're the only one win team. Indiana is 2-13. New Orleans is 2-13. Brooklyn's 2-12. Sacramento's 3-12. Like there are some bad teams, but no team is as bad as the Wizards. So. In terms of that pick, that bottom, top eight protected, got to be bottom four to keep it, shouldn't be an issue at all. But nonetheless, like this is an ethical loss. This is an ethical tank loss. Not a bad effort by any means. Not the podcast I thought I'd be recording after that first half, and especially that second quarter. I thought it would be more of another sort of ranted, long-winded rant episode where I'm just kind of going in on the lack of competitiveness, but I can't. Like, I got to call it as it is. And look, the effort in the second quarter was awful. It was trash. It was garbage. You can't have that in a season. That's what the meeting was about after the Nets game. But the second half was more of what you're looking for. It's what Brian Keefe challenged this team to do. It's what Keyshawn George said needs to be the standard. And they did that pretty clearly. So again, can't be too mad at this one. Wizards fall to 1-13, 12 losses in a row, 120 to 109 to Minnesota. Their next game is Friday against the Toronto Raptors. I will be back to recap that one as well. That's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, as always. Go Wiz.